may be seated this morning. We're continuing in our series, The Last Year. But the last year at this point in Jesus' life doesn't quite do it justice because we've reached the last month of his ministry. And all of the things that are happening now are pointing towards the cross. But remember that nothing that God does is random. Random in any way, shape, or form. And that Jesus loves to build on the things that he has shown us and taught us so that we can continue to get a deeper knowledge and love and grace and understanding of who he is and who he wants us to be. And today is no different as we jump back into John chapter 11. And just so that we can grasp and understand, this is something amazing for us, that Jesus wants to show us that he has all the ability and all the power to take us to be with him forever, to have us join him in his kingdom. But Jesus lets something happen so that we can grasp and understand that he really does have all of the power to make this a reality. Now, to reset the stage, Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Bethany because Lazarus was sick. Well, at least that's how it started. We know that Lazarus has lost his life due to that sickness. And now that Lazarus was dead, Jesus was going there, according to him, so that his disciples could believe. So that they could believe about heaven. So that they would know that Jesus had all the power and ability to reach out and touch and help them understand that this is who he is. And this is that new layer to his teaching. And like we mentioned last week, there are a lot of things that we had to wrestle with. People that God loves and cares for getting sick and, yes, even dying. Jesus loving this family, and yet he stays where he was for 2 days, not answering their prayers for healing. And all of this happening for God's glory, so that his disciples, you and me, might believe. And again, we wrestle with that question, believe what? Everything that Jesus talked to us about in Luke chapter 17, coming in the clouds to take us to be with him, to take his bride home forever, for us to be in paradise. And his followers had to know this was true and to really understand that Jesus has power over death. And for all of us today, I think we will see that lesson come to life. So, yes, bad pun, I understand, but let's begin in John. Yes, some of you got that. That's okay. It's all right. John chapter 11. Verse 17. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. And Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. So what Jesus told his disciples was true. Lazarus was dead. Not recently dead. Passed away 8 minutes ago. Somebody's still doing CPR on him and trying to keep him alive and well till Jesus can get there. That's not what was going on and happening. Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. 4 days. That's not just semi-dead. That's really dead. And so we can put this together that Jesus received the messenger via messenger that Lazarus was sick. And we know that he stayed 2 days after he received the message, and it was a 2-day journey from where he was to Bethany. So 4 days. So we can grasp and understand that at the time the messenger came, we know that Lazarus, as Jesus was hearing the message that Lazarus was sick, Lazarus passed away. And I want you to understand that the typical burial for the Jew happened on the day of their death. That is exactly what happened. On the day of their death was also the day of their burial. Think of Jesus on the cross. They took his body down and placed it in a tomb. It wasn't because of the Sabbath that they took his body down and placed it in a tomb. It was because of the Sabbath they had to hurry and take his body down and place it in the tomb. But taking the body and placing it in a tomb on the day of death is typically what happened. So we believe that Lazarus received the same traditional Jewish burial. In preparation for the burial, the body would be anointed with oil first, from top of the head to the toes of the feet. And then after that, the body would be washed with water. And after the body was washed with water, they would be wrapped in strips of linen, from head to toe in strips of linen. And this was their grave clothes. And yes, wrapped in linen, head to toe, kind of gives us this idea of mummy, right? And to help us kind of grasp what it would look like, think of that for a second, but not not the legs individually wrapped. The Jews would wrap the legs together, and your hands and arms would be wrapped towards your torso as well, and so that everything would be wrapped together, because anybody who's ever drove by in our area and seen a deer that's been hit on the side of the road with their legs sticking straight up? Yes, we've seen that. And the Jews didn't want that to happen to anyone, so they wrapped everything tight to the body so that they would preserve that way. And I want you to understand that if Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days, we can believe that Lazarus was not sleeping. This wasn't some elaborate trick. This was a long time. And there would be some, let's just say, soiled strips of linen that would prove that something was not right in the process. But when Lazarus came out, he came out like he was put in. So he was very dead, 4 days dead. And that is a long amount of time. And all of the people who came from Jerusalem for the ceremony and who were there to help mourn for the week knew that with Mary and Martha that Lazarus was indeed dead. So knowing this, we see that Jesus comes. And when he comes, he does something that is very interesting because it almost seems odd. Because he's coming to Bethany. He knows where Mary and Martha, where their house is. But when he gets close to town, he doesn't go to their house. Jesus is outside of the city. And I want you to understand that when Jesus arrives, he doesn't go to the house. He isn't there for Martha to feed him. Jesus goes outside of the city because that is where they buried people. If you knew that someone was dead and buried, you go to the cemetery. And that's where Jesus goes. He goes to the part of town where he knows that the graves are located in. He wasn't there in a random place. He wasn't just outside of the city to make Mary and Martha come to him. Jesus was there with his disciples for Lazarus. It wasn't random. It was on purpose. And he was there for a reason. He went to the place where Lazarus was. So as Jesus was outside of the city at the cemetery, word gets back at the house that he's there. And look at what happens next in verse 20. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." And I want you to see that out of the first two sisters that heard the news and came to meet Jesus, we would have thought that it would have been Mary that ran out to Jesus, not Martha. Mary was the one who sat at their feet. Martha was the one in the kitchen cooking. We would have thought that Mary would have been the one that when they heard that Jesus was by the cemetery, that it would have been Mary that ran to meet Jesus. But it wasn't Mary. It was Martha. And let's stop and look a minute at Martha's faith. And the first thing that Martha says to Jesus isn't, "Why didn't you come? What took you so long?" No, that's not what she says at all. Instead, what we get from Martha to Jesus, "If you would have been here, if you would have been close enough to make it, I know that Lazarus would still be here. You would have healed him. I know that you love and cared for him so much." And what Martha was showing us is that she had faith. Faith that Jesus could heal any sickness. Faith to know that if he was just there, if he wouldn't have been so far away, if he would have been closer to town, that Lazarus would have been alive. They were smart enough to put two and two together that when the messenger got to Jesus, Lazarus was dead, that there was nothing that he could do. And it didn't matter to her. Because she had faith and knew that if he would have been here. And even in her grief and mourning, I want you to see that it wasn't just a past tense statement. She says, even now, my faith has not stopped in who you are, Jesus. Even now, in the midst of my grief, I know that you are more than just a preacher. I know that you're something more. I believe that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Because of who you are, because of my faith in who you are, I know that you can do the amazing. And I don't know why it did work out for Lazarus, but I still believe in you. And when Jesus sees her faith, look at what he tells her in verse 23. Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." But Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me, even after dying, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Look at what Jesus says in response to Martha's faith. I am the resurrection and the life. And to help her understand what he was talking about, he starts by putting it in the right perspective for her and saying that your brother will rise again. Remember, this lesson was all about what he already had talked about. That he had the power and strength and ability that he was going to come in the clouds and take all who believe to gather together to be with him forever in paradise. And that's what he was letting you know, that Martha, he's going to live again. Jesus has the power to come. He is the groom that's coming to get his bride. He has all the power and authority to make this happen. And in response to that statement, we see Martha giving what was at that time the credited teaching on the last day. This was what was taught by the Pharisees and Sadducees that didn't, the Pharisees thought that this is exactly what would happen. And this was the common teaching. This wasn't always the teaching that was in Israel, but for every Jew that was alive and present in culture, society today, this was their teaching. This is what was taught and what they were taught to believe. That on the last day that there would be a resurrection. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, but the Pharisees taught that once you died, you would remain until the last day, or what we would call the end times. And then and only then would the faithful be resurrected to life and the unfaithful to hell. So this wasn't a lack of faith on Martha's part, but a false teaching that was present in the culture and society. She was repeating back to Jesus the words of the Pharisees and what they taught. But after the last lesson, she had to understand something else. Jesus had the power and ability to come back for his faithful. And remember that the disciples were hearing this exchange. They were there with him. And what was said was next was as much for them as what it was for Martha. That Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Not that there is a resurrection, but that he is the resurrection. And to show Martha what he means by that, he states that anyone who believes in him will live even after dying. Now that was a game changer. Because remember, what the Pharisees taught, what everyone believed was, is that after you died, you were just dead until the resurrection. But when you compile that with the parable that he just taught a couple of weeks before about the rich man and Lazarus, different Lazarus, but when Lazarus passed away, he was immediately taken to Abraham's side. He was comforted in heaven, and the evil man went to hell immediately. And this, again, goes to show that anyone who believes will continue to live. That they don't go to sleep for a long time until the end. And no, our last breath here will be our first breath in eternity, either in heaven or in hell. We like to think it would be in heaven, and we don't like the idea that maybe it would be in the other place, but the reality is that it will be in one or the other, that we continue to live even after we die. And then he tells her that everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Now that's on the screen for you. Everybody can see it. And I want you to see that Jesus says two things. That everyone who lives in me and believes in me. And I want you to see that it's not enough to just believe in him. Because that's what he says. It's not enough for us to just think that he's God. It's not enough for us to just think that he's the Savior. We have to believe that this is exactly who he is, and that belief should cause us to live out our faith, to live what we believe. Anyone who believes and lives. I'm not making it up. It's there for you. When you open up yours, your Bible, it's in there. Believe and live. And this speaks to us doing more than just actually thinking that he's Savior, but to actually live out that belief in this world, to actually do what he says, to honor what he expects, to live by his standards and not give in to the world's standards. And then, as if to say to Martha that this is real, that this is important, that this is what you need now, Jesus asks a question to Martha and to us this morning. Do you believe? Martha, do you have that type of faith in me? And I want you to know that it's still our question today as well. Do we really believe that Jesus can do everything that he said he could? And because of that, do we believe that we will live after we die? Do we really believe it? Do we believe that we will never die? That our first breath, our last breath here is our first breath there. Do we believe it? And do we believe it enough to live for him now? Because it's not enough for us to just think about it. It's something that we have to do. It has to be lived out for all of this world to see and know. We have to live in him because he is where our help comes from. But do we really believe enough to change how we live and what we do now? Do we? Because if we really believe, we're going to live. Do we really believe him enough and love him enough to stop cussing? Do we believe and love him enough to stop drinking? Do we believe and love him enough to stop hating or complaining? To stop sleeping around or living with someone? Does our belief actually change the way that we live? Because if we believe, it's great. But it has to change the way that we live. And that brings us to Martha's response. Look at verse 27. Yes, Lord, she told them, I have always believed that you were the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who was to come in the world from God. Jesus, I believe, and I know that you're the Messiah, and I thank you for letting me know. It's so consoling today that Lazarus isn't just sleeping until the last days, that he is alive in paradise today. Thank you! And you can see that that's what she takes away from it, because after this, she runs to get Mary. Now, what happens next? Verse 28. Then she returned to Mary, and she called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him, and Jesus stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. And the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leaving hastily. They assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep, so they followed her there. And when Mary arrived, she saw Jesus, and she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. And we see here that Martha wasn't the only sister who believed, so now let's look at Mary's faith. Jesus stayed at the cemetery, and Martha told Mary, he's at the cemetery. He's there by the tomb. Go see Jesus. And Mary runs out of the house. And all of the people who came up from Jerusalem, because mourning with someone was a week-long process back then. They would come for the funeral as soon as they heard, and even if they couldn't come for the funeral, they would stay around for that week of mourning, and they would be there to help the person grieve and console. So when they saw that Mary was running to out the door, and when they saw that she was running in the direction of the graveyard, they thought she was going to the grave, and they went to help her mourn. But when Mary gets to Jesus, she does something. It's an expression of faith. She falls at his feet. Now, I want you to understand this wasn't a greeting. We don't do that. And they didn't do that. This was worship. She was falling at his feet in belief. She was falling at his feet that even though that Lazarus had died and passed away, that she believed that Jesus was more than just a man. And she fell at his feet. But she wasn't content to let Jesus just see her faith. She spoke it as well. If you would have only been here. Again, not anger or disappointment that Jesus didn't answer their demand in their way, but again, a simple expression of faith. The same faith in the power of Jesus to heal the sick that Martha expressed. And now it's something that stems from inside both of the sisters. They both independently said and believed the same thing. That Jesus was more than that. more than a man. He had the ability to heal. And they both knew that if Jesus would have just been here, that he loved them enough, that he cared for them enough, they'd experienced his love, they'd experienced his care, and they knew that Lazarus would have made it, that Jesus would have touched him. But in this scene, I want you to see that something happens. Look at verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus wept. Now, a lot of people will focus in on Jesus weeping, but I think there's something more important for us to consider this morning. That inside of Jesus, there was a deep anger. The Greek word that's used here is translated for us a vehement agitation, and it always denotes anger when used in the Greek. And what we would call is not just anger, but something that was coming from a place deep inside that's stemming from who we are. So somewhere deep inside of Jesus, stemming from who he is, when he saw everyone crying over Lazarus' death, he felt anger, and then he cried. But I have to ask this morning so that we're all on the same page, why was there anger? Why was there anger? Because Jesus saw the effects of sin and death. It was right there in front of them. The people he loved and cared for were experiencing it, weeping, mourning. And that's why he was here, to end the effects of sin and death, to end the effects of sin and death and its control in this world. And he was angry because of what was causing sin and death to happen to his creation. But in love and compassion for what we feel, he cries. Moved because of what we face, what we feel, our God does something for us to know and understand that he cares as well. And just so that we don't miss it, what does this mean about his love for us? And it shows us just how much God loves and cares for his creation. That his love for us wasn't just symbolic. That the cross wasn't just a symbolic form. That no, he really loved and cared. That us having to experience this that wasn't part of his plan so made him angry at sin and Satan and everything that it just reaffirmed to him why he was here. But yet our pain caused him grief and he wept as well. And his care for us goes beyond just his coming. But Jesus came to do something about our condition so that we could be with him. So that he could fix the problem that we're living under. And that's what goes to show us what happens in verse 36. The people who were standing nearby him said, "See how much he loved him?" But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" So now all of the people that came up from Jerusalem are getting involved. Some of them have probably seen or heard just who Jesus is. But now they're asking for two things that we need to grasp and understand that we can't keep separate, and those are love and action. You see, we read it a little earlier. Believe and live. The same thing. People saw Jesus cry, but they wanted to know why he couldn't do something more. And I want you to understand that for us, it's not enough to say that we care. We have to back up what we say by what we do. Again, it's not enough for us to just say we believe. We have to live. We have to do. And it's not enough for us to say that we love. We have to show it. And anyone who's ever been married for an extended amount of time knows that it's true. You can't just say that you love. You have to show that you love. And sometimes that's hard to do. I want to thank Ginger this week. I've been remodeling my office downstairs. And even though she was tired and sore, she kept coming over to help because out of her love for me. So thank you. Because out of love, it's more than just saying we love. Sometimes we show it. And I want you to know that true love is seen and not just said. Our kids understand this, or at least I hope they do. That we say that we love them, but they experience our love. And the same is true for us about God. We know that he loves us, but there's something else that is there that we can experience. And we can experience his love. And they're about to see that his love and his action are the same. And they're about to see just how much God loves us. Just look at what happens next in verse 38. Jesus was still angry when he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell is terrible." And Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believed?" Remember, this wasn't a long walk. Jesus was already at the cemetery. And you know that Jesus already knew which grave Lazarus was in. But for the sake of Mary and Martha and his disciples, where is he? He's in that one. Move the stone. That was not what they were expecting to hear. When someone had been dead that long, Martha's description of this is correct. There's an odor that comes from this. 4 days. Not good. Again, we live in an area where there's a lot of wildlife. And a lot of wildlife that gets hit by the side of the road. I am not the only one who's had something dead on the side of the road by their house. Not that long ago, there was a raccoon that didn't make it across the street. And by the time I got out to really notice he was there, you could tell he had been dead for a little bit. There was a smell. It's not a pleasant smell. His legs were starting to spike up. So that when we tried to remove him, it made the smell even worse. So what Martha is saying isn't a lack of faith. It's not that she didn't want Jesus to move the stone. It was just the reality for her of what was inside. And if you move that smell, not move that stone, not only do we have to mourn, but now we have the senses and the reality of his death that's going to hit us. And he's going to smell. But Martha missed what Jesus was telling her. The ability to see God's glory. Now understand that Martha, as a good godly Jew, understood that when Jesus was talking about God's glory, that any Jew who heard or knew and could grasp that what Jesus was talking about when you heard God's glory was the place where God lived. That if she believed, that she would see heaven. And so maybe she was just thinking, Lazarus, not the last day. He's living now. And that if I believe, I will see him when I get there. But the glory was more than just heaven. She was going to see that God's glory now made a presence and an impact on earth for us. This wasn't random again. Jesus was really trying to show them that he had power over sin and death. And that he had the ability to take us to be with him. In the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, that we can trust what he says about it because he has all that power that's there. And so we could truly understand and believe, he gives us what happens next in verse 41. So they rolled away the stone. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all of these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." And many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. Now don't miss out what Jesus does here. He did all of this so that we will believe. What happens next was for the benefit of his disciples and us. For us to see, for us to know, and for us to believe. And for us to believe, Jesus prayed out loud. Not because he's pleading with God to do something, but to show us that we can pray to God and that God hears and that he moves. And then he does something for our benefit as well. He shouts at death, "Lazarus, come out!" He didn't have to shout. He could have just, "Lazarus, out." And Lazarus would have come out. He could have just snapped his finger and Lazarus would have come out. But he shouted into the grave so that we could see something, so that we could know that he had power and authority over death. And when he shouts his power and authority over death, death loses. Because he has the power over death. And when Jesus shouts into the tomb, something amazing happens. Lazarus comes out in those grave clothes. Hands and feet wrapped together. So he doesn't come out striding out. He's waddling. That's the picture. That's the image. And the people don't know what to do because here's this guy in grave clothes trying to waddle out of the tomb. And they don't know what to do. They're just trying to grasp and believe what they're seeing so that Jesus has to tell them, unwrap him and let him go. And while that was what Lazarus wanted to hear, it was also not what he wanted to hear. Somebody get me your robe first. And then unwrap me and let me go. But he was there coming out because Jesus had the power and authority. And all joking aside, if you were there and you saw a man that you knew was dead and been in that grave for 4 days, because Jesus yelled into the tomb, the man came out, what would you do? What would your response be? Would you believe that Jesus was God? Would you believe that he had power over death? Would there be any doubt in your mind? Well, the Bible tells us that the people who came and watched and saw this believed. So then I have to ask, where does that place us? What can we take away from this encounter? Well, I think there's a few things that we need to grasp this morning. First, we can know that Jesus has all the power to reign over death. That if Jesus says he's coming back for us, then he's going to come back. If he's coming back to take us to be with him, we don't have to worry. We don't have to doubt. He has all the power and authority that when he says come, we're going to come. And he's going to do that for us. We can know and understand that he promises life and he's going to fulfill it for us. And we have all of this because he has victory over death. We do. You see, this is more than just Lazarus. This is also about the empty tomb. This is about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He conquered death and he rose again, adding the resurrection as the first fruit. Death has no power over him. And because he conquered death, we do when we believe and when we live. And if we believe and live in him, even though we die, yet shall we live. If we believe in him and live in him, we will live with him forever. If we believe and if we live. If we believe and if we live, the same thing that Jesus is telling Mary and Martha, he shows us today, that we have this wonderful ability to know in faith and victory that our God loves us so much and cares for us so deeply that he not only has anger over the sin that affects this world and us, that he not only has love and compassion and weeps on our behalf, but has all of the power and authority that we need to live forever with him. And that he shows us this with a man that was dead for 4 days. That when Jesus speaks into the tomb, he comes out. And this morning, I want you to know that Jesus has all power and all authority. And if we believe and if we live, we will live with him forever. But this morning, do you believe? And has your belief caused you to live it? Or are there still some things that we haven't done away with? Because it's all about belief, and we've forgotten that we've got to make that a life. This morning, he has all the power over sin and death. He has all the power over the grave. He has all the power to raise you up because he loves you and he cares. The deep anger that he had there at the tomb was the deep anger that he had because he came. And he was came so that he could do away with what was causing all of the grief and pain. So that we could know where we would be for all of eternity. And that we could take that belief and put it into action. All of those people who are wondering, he loves them so much, couldn't he heal them? Well, he loved them so much that he called them out of the grave so that they could know and understand how much power and love he really had. And this morning, he still has all of that power and love for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to show us your love, your mercy, your grace. In greater measure than ever before, show us, Lord. Show us, Lord. Help us to believe and know. Help us to understand. But Father, help us to do more than believe. Help us to put our faith into action. Help us to believe that you have all of that power and care and love, that we can live our lives the way that you've asked, the way that you want. And Father, today, help us. Help us to live for you in the power of your love and in the power of your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.